Roy Lowy, and you're listening to Talking Travel on WTMY Sunday Travel Radio. And with me right now is the Wonder Woman herself, Suzanne Wright. Suzanne.
Hi, Roy. How are you?
Good. We're going to talk about Northern Ireland, which is always kind of fascinated me because I've never got up there. And as you mentioned in your article on Offbeat Travel, who is a very good friend of ours, and it's been like 25 years before things started settling down, and I guess what you went from Belfast to Derry, was that, why don't you take it from there?
Yeah, sort of a loop starting in the capital, and, I think I'll frame the whole conversation that we'll have this morning by just saying that those of us who have been to the Republic of Ireland and have fallen in love with the Irish people and the Irish countryside and the incredible history and natural beauty, it's kind of turbocharged in Northern Ireland, if you will. So it's more the same and then some, and the benefit is, hey, there are fewer people there. Preachingly becoming a real hot travel destination.
Okay, yeah.
Because it has all those advantages, and yet it's still being discovered.
Right, it really hasn't caught on. People, and I don't think the promotion is there just yet.
Yeah, although I will say it's very, very easy. I live in Atlanta,
right.
As frequent listeners to your show might know, and so I flew from Atlanta to Dublin, overnighted in Dublin, and then just took a train up to Belfast, very easy, less than 2 hours.
Right.
Inexpensive and easy, and of course, a nice way to see the countryside on the way in.
Now, the population you're seeing is about 1.7 million, and 50% are Protestants and 40% are Catholic. And then the balance are ethnic. But it's kind of interesting. It's got a country, an area that would split in half. You would think they'd get along a little bit better.
Well, it's interesting. It's a country that has obviously, has suffered terribly because of the divisions within their borders. And for the past decade, there has been peace, there have been no bombings, there has been political activity, but it hasn't been of a violent nature. And lots and lots of the kinds of tours that an individual like myself can do include a black taxi cab tour, which is really an amazing way to go with a local and learn firsthand about these divisions and how they divided families, not unlike what we had in the old Yugoslavia, Serbians
right.
and Croatians, that
right,
sort of
exactly,
thing. And the divisions that existed, and the remnants of the history are very prominent. The freedom fighters with the paintings on the public buildings, and they're incredible paintings. Although now, what's really interesting is, there tend to be just as many political visual statements about, for instance, the George Bush government in the United States as there are about quibbles that they may have within their own borders. So there's a little bit more of an outward look politicization, I guess, outside their borders. But it's very interesting, and the driver that I had, the cabbie that took me around, challenged me to guess what religion he belonged to at the end of the tour, and I guessed
That's
wrong.
Interesting. What did you guess?
Well, I guessed that he was Catholic, and as it turns out, he wasn't. And he said, but I have lots of Catholics in my family.
Yeah, well, I grew up in an Irish Catholic neighborhood, and it was kind of funny because we also had a public school there. And so when you were a kid, the kids used to say, Are you a Catholic or are you a public? But, you know, there was
right.
There was never any division. We were all buddies. You know, nobody, I, you know, as kids, I think that, you know, we didn't care much for religion anyway in those days. And it's the school that had the most sports, probably was the most fun.
I think, Roy, that at this point, they're a decade removed from what was a very, very painful history that obviously has cost them not only in lives, but it affected their economic development,
absolutely,
their position within Europe in general, and all those sorts of things. So I think the point was, you know, we're moving on. That polarization that many of us hold from seeing headlines in the news over those many years, those 25 years of violence, that's long gone. And what's been replaced is a really, really vibrant and very welcoming and bustling capital. You know, skyscrapers going up, new developments going up, infrastructure improvements, which, you know, is always the sign that a city or a country is on a big turnaround. A lot of investment dollars in the area. So Belfast is, of course, the gateway into Northern Ireland, and I stayed for just a day and a half, but it was a tremendous grounding to what I was going to, you know, be pushing through and seeing further north and further west.
Now, just getting to the tourism side of it, I found it interesting that the Titanic was built and launched in Belfast.
Yeah, isn't that fascinating? It's something that has escaped me, and that I didn't realize as well. But the port in Belfast, you know, quote unquote, back in the day, was a major shipbuilding site for all of Europe, and now it's becoming a very sort of trendy mixed-use development area. Big investment plans to build condominiums, restaurants, retail, all that sort of stuff is underway. And so it's interesting. So again, it's another example of how Belfast as a city is kind of honoring its past, but really with an eye, you know, keenly on the horizon of the future.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely fascinating, and I want to make it a point in the not too distant future to get on over there, and because I've spent lots of time doing the pub crawls and the rest of it in the southern part, but maybe I need to see some of the.
And it's time well spent, right?
Yeah, it's certainly in my opinion. I don't know. There may be others that would disagree with that. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, some of the outlying areas, because you've covered quite a bit of territory here.
Right. Well, the really, really great thing about Northern Ireland is it's compact. You know, I rented a car. I arrived in Belfast, as I said, by train. I toured for about a day and a half, overnighted, and then I picked up a rental car, and I spent about 5 days. Just 5 days. So I was moving at a pretty good clip, but, you know, so let's say within a week, you can really get around the country and see a variety of sites and have a variety of experiences and engage with a number of people. So what I set out on is the number one sort of attraction from a touristic standpoint within Northern Ireland, and it's called the Coastal Causeway, or Causeway Coastal Route, and it's 80
right.
miles.
This is one of the UNESCO World Heritage
yeah,
sites.
And
in fact,
I'll tell you more about that site, which is really among the top things I've ever seen in terms of natural phenomenon. But the road is, of course, if you've traveled in that part of the world in England or Ireland or Scotland, the roads are beautiful. They're empty. I mean, I was there in the summer, and it was still, you know, reasonably unpopulated with, you know, obviously less than 2 million people. I mean, most of us live in cities with more people than that here in the U.S.
Right.
So, you know, and of course, you know, just gorgeous, easy driving. And stopping along the way, there are just excellent signposts that you can, you know, if you didn't have a map, or if you didn't have a guidebook, you would not be at a loss, because the roads are in perfect condition. They're extremely well signposted with all the attractions, from castles to scenic outlooks to small burgs that you might want to visit, and pubs of the note. You know, historic pubs are signposted as well. So it's incredibly easy to kind of just, you know, relax and let the scenery unfold in front of you, and just know, okay, well, tonight I've got to get, you know, 120 kilometers up the road to overnight in, you know, whatever inn. And I did have places organized in advance, but wouldn't have been hard to do it as a sort of spontaneous pickup thing.
Now, you obviously got over to the old Bushmills Distillery, I would think.
Well, before we talk about that, we should definitely talk about the Giant's Coffee.
The Giant, yes.
That's the attraction that you mentioned is the UNESCO World Heritage Site. It is the most visited site in Northern Ireland. It's a fantastic geological site. And if you go on to www.offbeattravel.com and pull up the article that I've written, you'll see at least one picture of it. And what you'll see is people stepping on stones that are shaped in a hexagonal form. What they are is they're basalt columns that were formed by volcanic activity. And there's a really charming tale that I tell in my story about how and why, a kind of a folk tale of how and why those were formed, but obviously there's also a scientific reason that that's there. And it was a beautiful sunny day when I was there, and in fact it was what they call a bank holiday. So there were lots and lots of people enjoying the warm weather, and it's got this commanding view over the ocean, and it was just really an incredible sight. And there's a lot to see right in that area. There's a rope bridge that you can cross, which is where fishermen were catching salmon back in the days. And then you get on up to Bushmills, which is where I overnighted, and it's really a
am I surprised?
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, you know me well, Roy. I do like my nips here and there.
Yes, one has to have a little nip every now and then.
And the good news is, once you abandon the car in the parking lot, you know, you can kind of go at it. So Bushmills Inn is in the town of Bushmills, and it's also very well known for the old Bushmills Distillery, which is a must-see.
Which makes a great Irish whiskey.
The distillery in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that was that's a must-see site and you know, a must-see souvenir for your suitcase, for your checked baggage. So that was great. And then onward I pushed around the sort of the northern arc of the country, which is, you know, right up at the tippy top overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. And it is no overstatement to say that the scenery is breathtaking. And there are ruins of old castles, medieval castles that you'll see before you sort of drop back into the interior of the land.
Now, you went to the...
You go to Londonderry, which is an interesting kind of bookend to Belfast.
Right.
Londonderry is now the only completely walled city in Ireland, and one of the best preserved walled cities in all of Europe, in fact. And was also a site of the troubles, you know, between the Catholics and Protestants over, you know, a number of decades ago, from the 60s to the 80s, 90s. So it's a very interesting opportunity to tour around in that city, and they have an excellent museum, which will give you a really dynamic sense of what was going on during the troubles, as they were called.
Now, what about some of the castles in that area versus the ones in the south? Of course, you know, there's the Dunluce Castle.
Oh, you know, and I have to say, castles were not a big point of my exploration when I was in the Republic of Ireland. I feel like I've seen lots of castles in my life.
Right, exactly.
So, although there are magnificent castles there, I can't really compare them. But what I will say about in particular, Dunluce Castle, which is in Northern Ireland and on that that coastal route. So instead of being a complete castle that you would tour, such as in Ireland or in Scotland or in England or Wales, it's interesting and dramatic and atmospheric because it is in ruins. And there's something, at least in this writer's opinion, that's incredibly romantic and incredibly evocative about going to a castle that's perched precipitously over the water and sort of hearing the guide tell you the story of why it's, you know, kind of just a few standing stones or why there are just a few walls. So
right.
I really like the romance of it, I guess you could say.
You're an incurable romantic. And on that note, Suzanne, we've got to go, and but let's do this more often because you've been doing a lot of traveling since we last spoke. So we'd like to chat with you a little more often.
Well, that sounds great.
So
I'm off to San Francisco tomorrow, so I'll say hello. Leave both of our hearts in San Francisco.
Okay, thanks, Suzanne.
All right, take care, Roy. Bye.